One last chance. That's the title of the message tonight. One last chance. One last chance. Now, we really ended with 4 and 8 last week, but let's go back and read this quickly up to where we are. Because we have to have this foundation before we understand what's going on here. And so, 4 and verse 6. Wayomer, Hadabar, El, Kain, Lama, Chara, Vach, Wila, Wilamna, Nephilu, Fane, Fanika, that is. And he said Jehovah, and he kept on saying Jehovah, and there's the word Hadabar there. That's what we're talking about. This is the word for whole logos in the Hebrew. That's why we say that whole logos is Jehovah. And he said Jehovah unto Cain. Cain means what? God. They thought they had gotten the Messiah. Now they're going to get a rude awakening. Why or how? He has glowed with anger to you. And why they have fallen your faces. Why they have fallen your faces. In other words, all of his expressions of Cain were evil, bad, sad, constantly evil. J. Luke Guthrie said, if you do well spiritually, is there not a lifting up? If you do not do well spiritually, at the door sin crouches as a wild beast, and unto you shall its running, or his running, be after you, and he shall destroy you. And then I put in here at the last part of it, but you shall keep on conquering and ruling over him. And then verse 4 and 7. Hallo, M, T, Tith, Tseth, Wim, Lo, T, Tith, La, Pa, La, Pitak, Chatos, Rivets, Wilisha, Tish Shukato, Wiata, Timshaw, Bo. And is not there, if you cause to divide correctly, this is the first thing we know that he was not tithing. Cain was not tithing. He said, if I divide correctly, if you cut straight and divide correctly, a lifting up, your countenance shall lift up to be lifted up. And if not, you cut straight. If you don't cut straight, if you don't tithe, if you don't do what you're supposed to, the man was not tithing, the man was not giving according to what God's proportion, nor what his allotment was. He was offering a cursed offering from a cursed ground. And he wasn't going to do any different. Cain was not. He was a very stubborn, religiously stubborn man. I have run into people like that in my life. One person one time that I, not too long after I surrendered to preach, a man wanted me to come over and talk to his brother. His brother was a Methodist. And he wanted me to talk to him about baptism. That man got really, really mad at me. He was a butcher, shaking his knife at me and everything. And I went over there where he was working, and the guy owned the store, so I mean, I went over there and talked to this guy, and I talked to him. I said, I heard you want to talk to me about baptism. And he said, baptism is sprinkling in the Bible. Well, I said, actually, it isn't. It's baptizo. And I said, the word baptizo means to dip or immerse. We get our word immergio right out of that word immergio from the Latin, which means to immerse. Now, I said, if God wanted us to be sprinkled, he would have said rontizo. If he wanted us to be poured upon, it would have been nipto. And he said, I don't want to talk to you. You think you know too much. And he was really mad. And I said, I thought your brother told me that you wanted to talk about baptism. What it was. And I said, baptism does not save you either. He said, yes, it does. It saves you from the original sin. Baptized for the original sin. Baptized for the Adamic sin. And then you're on your own from there on. See. Another woman one time I met, that's actually my wife's aunt, real nice woman, about 100 years old when I met her. But anyway, we went over there to see her in this rest home, and she was a proud Methodist. And I didn't say anything. Nothing. I didn't pry my mouth open. The woman looked at me and she said, I hear you're a Baptist. And I said, yes, I am. By conviction. And she said, I went to a Baptist church one time and saw them baptize somebody. It made me want to vomit. Yeah. She did that, didn't she?
She sure did.
Religiously hardened people that don't want to know better. Here was one right here.
And I was so proud of him.
Yeah, here. Yeah, she was proud of me. Finally, she got hooked somebody, you know, after a long life of being incarcerated. Won't you lifting up your face? Then it says here, and not, if you don't tithe, if you don't cut straight, if you don't spiritually do good, and Paul uses the same word, and it says, study to show thyself of workman, not of God. Cutting straight the word of God. Cutting straight. That's the word here. Same word. Ortho. Rovets. Crouching. He said, sin is at the door. Crouching like a wild beast. Constantly. It's a cow participle. Constantly crouching and looking to catch you. And its desire is for you. His desire is for you. But you may keep on ruling over him. How? How do we rule over sin? By letting the Holy Spirit in our life take care of, guide us. Now the Holy Spirit was given old Cain one more time. One more chance. And guess who's there? Jehovah himself is preaching to him. What better preacher could you have? That's better than Charles Haddon Spurgeon or Jim Phillips, isn't it? Absolutely. Jehovah himself is preaching unto Cain. Now, Cain isn't listening at all. 4 and verse 8. Wayomer. Cain el Havel. Aki. Wahi. Boyato. Tom, that is Boyatom. Basadeh. Wayakam. Cain el Havel. Aki, Waya Hargehu. And he said, Cain, unto Abel, his brother. This brother here, this is kind of like Adelphos in the New Testament. This brother here, it can also mean sister with a different ending on it. Unto his brother. This is his twin brother, Marilyn. Twins are close, aren't they? This is his twin brother. Twins are close, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Twins are close. But these two were not close. These two were enemies. Enemies because of worship. Now, Abel worshiped correctly. He divided correctly. He tithed. He gave of what he was supposed to give. He did exactly. He made the sacrifice that God prescribed. Cain wouldn't do it. And he said and kept on saying, Cain unto Abel, his brother. And he became. And it says, to keep on being, literally is what it is, be Yotam, to keep on being, they kept on being in the field, in the prairie. And he stood up, Cain, against Abel, his brother. And he kept on slaughtering him. He kept on slaughtering him. Kept on slaughtering him. Now John said that Cain was ponero. Ponero. That means real evil, real twisted character, wasn't he? Evil. The book of Esther talks about Haman as being this kind of evil. Haman. What did Haman want to do to Mordecai?
Kill him.
This is bad. What he wanted to do was bad. He wanted to publicly humiliate him and torture him to death. Now, here is where crucifixion came from. It came from Nineveh.
And over here, crucifixion was on a stake.
It was not on a cross at this time. It was on a stake. Crucifixion evolved. Now, what he wanted to do to Mordecai, now, 75 feet up, they built a scaffold 75 feet up and said they wanted to hang him. Remember that? They built a scaffold 75 feet up. That's not what they did. They wanted to impale him. They would take a large board and they would whittle it down until it had a sharpened end, and they would take a man up there and strip him off naked in front of everybody and set him to where this would go up through his rectum and up into his innards, and slowly, and they would grease it, and he was sitting there like this, all suffering to death in this anguish and agony. That's what he wanted to do to... That's what Haman wanted to do to Mordecai. That's wicked, isn't it? He built 75 feet high so everybody could see him suffer. Guess what? God turned it around. God turned it around. Haman was crucified, impaled on that stake. In Jude 11, it talks about evil deeds. And Proverbs, it talks about shameless women destroying men. This same term, to slaughter and destroy. There are many people out there that want to slaughter and destroy other people, aren't there? Yeah. How can you slaughter and destroy people? How do you do that?
Run their character down.
That's one of the most horrible things you can do to another person, is destroy their character. Because what do you get out of it? All you do is destroy the other person's character. That's all. You get nothing out of it. You're destroying another person's character. This is what we call a panaria deed. A wicked deed. What happened to Jesus? Was he destroyed? Was he destroyed by wicked lies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they did. They crucified him, didn't they? And it was wrong. Even the judge said, "You're wrong." But they demanded. Even the judge, Pontius Pilate, said, "You are wrong." 5 times he told them they're wrong. "You ought to be crucified instead of him." Because he went back to the law. You know, if you accuse the man wrongly, guess what? You could turn around and be tried for what you said.
Yeah.
All right? You could be tried, and then you could be executed with exactly whatever penalty there was to this crime. That's what was on those false accusers. To slaughter him. Ruthless violence in 1 John 3 and 12. Esther 8 and 11, Jude 11, 1 John 3 and 12, Proverbs 7, 26, all talks about this. Let's get over here to... He kept on slaughtering his brother. Killing him wasn't enough. I remember one time when I was very young, we lived in a neighborhood, and there were some scoundrels that lived just down the street from us. A lot of them were coming up from Mexico, and they were gangsters. That happens. Gangsters. You know, down in some of the place, El Salvador? There's a lot of gangs down there. Anyway, this guy came up there. And they got this one guy came in. And he got in a fight with another guy there. And he stabbed him 21 times. That's what you call overkill, isn't it? This is what happened to Abel. Now, Abel's name is mean brief. Because I think God knew that his life would be brief. Brief, like a vapor. Mm-hmm. But he destroyed him. Have you heard of the Hatfields and McCoys? One of the Hatfields was a very strong man, and they got out there one day and they had a fist fight at a picnic. And they, first of all, they insulted him several times, and he said, "Well, come on, I'll take you one at a time." And he whipped about 5 or 6 of them. He was a terrific man. powerful man. And then all of them jumped on him all at once, and they began to pull their pocket knives out and stab him. And literally stabbed him and stabbed him and stabbed him and stabbed him, and then they turned around and shot him. He lived for a while. But the Hatfields went and got all the boys and rounded them all up. This is the story of the Hatfields and McCoys. They rounded all these vicious skunks up. And it was in Kentucky and West Virginia is where all this went on. And they were arguing about which state that they would try it in, because each state was a sovereign state. This is right after the Civil War, you know. There was a McCoy and a Hatfield in Civil War together, and one of them saved the other's life. The McCoy saved the Hatfield's life. But then, the Hatfield left. He was a tremendous fighter and a great leader, but he realized the South was losing, and he said, "I'm going home." And the other one told him, the McCoy said, "I'll shoot you. You can't desert. You got to stay the course." He said, "No." He said they expected him, he would be able to die. They left all their pistols with him, and he was the last man, and he let all of the other ones escape. But he got away. And then when he came, he said, "This is it. I'm finished. It's useless." And they were so surprised that he was alive. Well, he went back home. And then when the other man, the McCoy, got back home, he was real angry with him still. He went up there and tried to offer him money. He tried to make amends with him. The Hatfield did. Well, he wouldn't make amends. And it was always hate, hate, hate from all the way from that period of time on. Many, many people lost their lives because of this hate and viciousness, this poneria. And finally, after many, many people died, one innocent boy that was mentally retarded was hung. He was hung. They hung him. They put the other one's life in imprisonment for these other people. Because they had taken those boys that had killed that Hatfield, and they took him up and shot him at a firing squad after a trial. There was no doubt that they were guilty at all. Now, do you have any doubt in your mind that Cain killed Abel in a vicious way? That's it. That's the story, isn't it? The Hebrew makes it very plainly. He kept on slaughtering him. He kept on slaughtering, kept on slaughtering, kept on killing, kept on killing. Devil Hatfield, that was his name, Devil Hatfield. He told them, he said, "If my brother lives," he said, "they can go to court and be tried over there. If he doesn't, the sentence is going to be carried out here." And all of them was praying. Now, all the time, these people are all praying, every one of them praying. I'll never forget Mark Twain's prayer. "O Lord God of heaven, I want you to curse my enemies. I want you to make their children orphans. I want you to make them starve to death. I want you to plague them. I want us to go in and destroy all of them. And I want you to kill every one of them and make their wives widows and their mothers weep." Now that was a joke that he wrote, just to show what was going on. In the war between the states, both sides were praying all the time. Probably the most religious man there was the general of all the Southern Army, Robert E. Lee. And they could have never whipped him, honestly. He whipped the socks off of them. They had to start breaking the rules of war to whip him, to bring him down. They had to cheat. When you cheat, do you win? No, not really. Even if you win, do you win? No. You don't. Do you remember when Mike Tyson bit off Holyfield's ear? Yeah. That's cheating, wasn't it? A vicious, vicious dog. A vicious man. God gives Cain one last chance. gives him one last chance. And this is it. It's recorded right here in the Bible. The last chance. Your last chance. The last chance mine. We've heard about that. The last chance gas station. I used to work for a service station down there. It was Jim's Texaco one time. But before that was Hancock. I owned that little old station. And that was the last place to get gas when you left Bakersfield, one at Maryland. You used to stop there all the time when they were going to Las Vegas. They'd stop there and I'd have to go check all the air in the tires and every bit of fluids and the radiator and everything that was and wash the windows immaculately because her mother would be sitting there with her long stogie pointing at every bug that was left on that thing. For a dollar. For $1. Top it off. It was already full, but to top it off, about a dollar's worth of gas. Maybe. I had a man one time. Now, when this happened one time, her dad came by, and her dad used to carry a roll of $100 bills in his pocket. Maryland. That roll of $100 bills fell out of his pocket. Now, I didn't know who he was. He only came in about every 6 or 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who he was, and I didn't know who really dropped this money. But I was out there sweeping up because I was the only one to clean the service station. I was out there sweeping the service station and washing it off with the water hose. And here this thing looked like blue paper. I went and looked at it. It was $100 bills. About $1,100, $1,200, something like that. And I could have stuck it in my pocket and never said one thing. But I went there the next morning early and I told the guy that owned the service station, hey, somebody lost a lot of money, and I have it in my pocket. And I said, now, you put that in the cash register. If somebody doesn't come back and claim that, that is my money. You know what that cheat told me, that liar? He said the till was short that much that night. Oh. I said, c'est la vie, fella. No more. I'm not working for a cheat and a liar. I could have used that money. I was going to school, working 2 or 3 jobs, and just starving to death. See, I weighed 6'2". I weighed 139 pounds when I graduated. I could have used that money. Mm-hmm. I could have used that money. He stole that money from me. And the rightful owner never saw it. This is dishonesty in life. This is what we have. You see that all the time. Every day in life, don't you? 4 and verse 9. Wyomer. Hathavar. El Cain. A. Hevel. Akihi. Wyomer. Lo. Yadati. Hashomer. Aki. Anoki. And he said and kept on saying, Jehovah. That's what that word Hathavar, the word is, the Jehovah. Unto Cain. Where? Now you think Jehovah didn't know where Cain, Abel was? He knew. He knew where he was. And he gave Cain one more chance to confess and to say, I am sorry, I have murdered my brother. He confronted him. Jehovah confronted him. One last chance. One more chance. Where's your brother? What could he have done? And says, Lord God, I'm an evil man. I have murdered my brother, and I have buried him and hid him from you. And I should have known better than that because I know nothing is hid from your great eyes. Would you please forgive me for what I've done? Because I am a wicked man. Hey, he could have said that, didn't he? Couldn't he? Let's see what did happen. One last chance. This is the last chance he's got. Right here. And Jehovah preaches to him. And said and kept on saying Jehovah unto Cain, Abel, your brother. And he said and kept on saying, not. No, 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 I know. No, 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 I have known. I don't know where he is. I don't have any idea where he is. Then he says here with a question. The keeping one. He's the keeping one. That's what it literally says, the keeping one. This is masculine, the senior, cal participle, the keeping one. Shemer. Am I the keeping one? Etz Ahi, my brother? Am I the one that's supposed to keep my brother? Are you supposed to be the keeping one of your brother?
Yeah.
Yes. He told him another thing here. Yeah, you're supposed to be. Am I my brother's keeper? Are we?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever do anything to help your brothers when they need help? Do you do that? Do you help your brothers? You fall in and help? Well, these Hatfields McCoys, for 100 years they fought. Many, many lives. Hatfield finally said, there at the last one, they was about to hang his nephew, the brother, son, that they stabbed to death. When he took him up and lined him up and tied him up to the tree, he says, you know what's going on here, boys? You know why this is going to happen? He said, you murdered my brother. If my brother would have lived, he said, you wouldn't be in this predicament. You would have been tried in the other state. But he said, I know that I'd never get justice. One time the Hatfields and McCoys, they had a judge in their family, the Hatfields did. He ended up going to prison for nothing. A crooked judge sent him to prison for nothing. He died in prison. And he was a judge. One time they brought a boy in front of him that had killed another man. Actually three of them. And he said, I'm going to let you go this one time because I want this war and this hate for the end. I'm going to be lenient. I'm going to turn him loose. And boy, his own family turned against him and said, why did you do this? He said, because to save your lives, I did it. To save your lives, I did it. Well, he ended up dying in prison. He was trying to do the good. Now let's look and see what happens here. Wyomer. Meh. Asit. Asitha. Gol. Deme. Archika. Sokim. Ile. Men. Hadama. And he said and kept on saying, what have you done? He said, the call, the voice of the bloods, deme, the bloods. See that word dom there? The voice of the bloods of your brother, the bloods belonging to your brother, crying out into the ears of Jehovah unto me from the ground, from the same elements that you were to, that you were made from the same elements that you're made from. Now your brother has become part of the dirt. His body is part of that dirt, and his blood is crying out. Where is the life? In the blood. His blood, his descendants to be, are crying out. Yes, Vincent.
Do you think that's the same as anybody that's gotten murdered or killed, that the blood cries out to this day? I mean,
the blood cries out. The blood always cries out. The blood of justice always cries out. It always does. The blood of justice always cries out to the ears of Jehovah. Whether it's literal blood or whether it's wrongdoing, it always cries out. One last chance. God always gives you one last chance. Why, even when they condemn a murder, they gave him one last meal, and if he can say one last thing. Why, in that movie, True Grit, in the second one with Jeff Bridges in there, this one guy gets up there and he said, I killed a man, that's why I'm here. But he said, I was incriminated by false judgment. And he said, if I'd have killed a man that I was supposed to kill, I wouldn't be on trial today. He said, because he deserved killing. John Farrell, my great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, Sam Paul, arrested him. He was a murderer out of Texas. And he was sitting there, after he arrested him, he was sitting there at the dinner table in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, where my family was, and Sippy was sitting there, my aunt, and the rest of the family all together. And Sippy asked John Farrell, why did my brother arrest you today? He said, oh, they say I killed a man in Texas. And she looked at him with terror in her eyes, and surely you didn't. He said, oh, yes, I did. I shot him right there. and left a greasy spot on his head from the fried chicken he was eating. And then a few minutes later, he said, I don't know why they arrested me. Because he said the man needed killing. He said somebody was going to kill him sometime or another. Somebody's going to have to kill him sooner or later. I was up in Fish Lake Valley the other day, and this guy was giving me a hard time. And I talked to the sheriff about it, and he said, shoot him and do everybody a favor. We'll put him in a bag. He needs killing. Well, old John Farrell said he needed killing. And Sam Paul said back to him, he said, you know what? I do the same thing all the time. I have to go out and I kill somebody and they take me over there to Fort Smith, Arkansas, and I'm on trial for murder. And I've done society a justice. I've done them a favor. He said, that happens to me all the time. Old Farrell said, well, man, I like you, Mr. Paul. You're good Injuns. Good Injuns. You know, he's a white man. You good Injuns. You quite civilized Injuns. But when he got over with dinner and he went up there to go to bed, he jumped out the window instead of putting chains on him. He came in there with Sam Paul with a light, looked into that room there, and he looked down there and he said, what's them chains and leg on for? And he said, that's for you. My family's going to be safe tonight. He said, ain't for me. You ain't putting them on me. And he said, I don't put them on you, I'll kill you. Just like that. And Sam Paul reached down to get the chains. Then John Farrell jumped out the second story window and hit right out there in the light in the rose garden in front. Sam Paul pulled that big pistol down, wham, and shot his leg and broke his leg. Cussed him all the way down the stairs. I have treated you like a prince in my home tonight, fed you dinner, and you ought to be abed up there in that feather bed right now asleep. Instead of that, you're dying in my front yard and you've ruined my whole evening. He walked out there and old John Farrell was pleading for mercy. Oh God, don't let him kill me. Don't let him kill me, God. And then he gets up there and he said, oh, Mr. Paul, don't shoot me. Don't shoot me. And Sam got up there, looked at him right in the eye, and he said, fella, that's not between you and God and me and God. It's between him and you. And he shot him right in the heart and killed him. He had his last chance. He had his last chance. His last chance was there at the dinner table. His last chance was to go to get in that feather bed. God is like that to us so many times, isn't he? He gives us one last chance. One last chance. One last chance. Now, it's over. Your brother's bloods are crying out to me. Your brother's bloods are crying out to me. Now in the Quran, Muhammad really liked this story, so he had to invent another story to go along with this one. And had a crow out there, and a crow was out there digging, a raven was out there digging in the ground. And he told Cain how to hide him. Dig a hole right here and hide him. You know, that's... He did bury him and hide him, but it doesn't say anything about that. No crow showed him. That's what we call insecure evidence. Hearsay. About 4,000 years too late. 4,600 years too late or so. And now cursed. Look at this. We ata a ruler. Ata men ha'adama asher patzita et piha likachat et deme achika me yadicha mina diha. And now has been being cursed. You are more than this word men here, this means more than, it's a comparative. More than the ground was cursed before. Now, what kind of a occupation that old Cain have?
Farmer.
He's a farmer. Now, if you ever tried to farm anything, Ray, did you ever try to farm anything?
Not really.
Well, you did chop cotton, didn't you?
Well,
yeah, you weeded cotton and all that kind of stuff. That's a slave laboring business, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, it is.
Even worse.
It's rough.
Short handle hose.
Yeah, short handle hose. That's what they had back, little short handle hose. I got one at home.
You can have it.
Yeah. Bending over so you can see closer to the ground. And they wouldn't give you long handle hose back then. Now it's against the law, you know. Mm. Short handle hose. It's hard work, isn't it? But now Cain, the ground is going to be, everything he tries to farm is going to be double cursed. He wouldn't tithe in the first place. Mm. Boy, now he's in trouble. God got his tithe back, didn't he? Mm-hmm. A whole bunch more. Because it's going to be hard for him to make a living. But we find out later on that Cain invented slavery then. Mm-hmm. Always trying to get around God. Always trying to get around the curse. Let's see what. And now cursed you are from more than the ground which she has opened up her mouth. Her mouth to receive bloods of your brother from and because of your hand. Because of your hand, from and because of your hand. 4 and verse 12. Ki tha vod thavad et ha'adama lo tosef Het, kocha, lak, na, wanad, tiye, va'aretz, that is. And then when you shall work, when you shall keep on working and tilling the ground, not she shall continue for herself. The ground is mad at him. It's an adjusive. It's in the jusive form here. Jusive means for itself. The ground is mad. The ground is mad at Cain. God has made the ground mad at him because of what he did. Not she shall continue for herself to give strength. Wandering nomad. Nah. He went to the land of Nod, didn't he? That means the land of wandering. He could not be a successful farmer anymore. But then he goes over there and he begins the process of slavery to use other men's efforts for your benefit. And wandering fugitive, lamenting, you shall keep on becoming in the earth. God cursed Cain more than the ground, and the ground was already cursed, and the ground was mad at Cain also. Now, okay. Yes.
Okay, the only other people he could enslave would be...
His own family.
Yeah, his brothers and sisters.
That's
so
right.
He murdered one, enslaved the others.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They enslaved his brothers and sisters. But what did he do to his brother? He kept on slaughtering him. He kept on slaughtering him he kept on slashing him. He kept on cutting his throat and kept on slaughtering him. The word means slaughter, and that means to cut the throat. That's what it means. He kept slicing his throat, cutting his throat, spilling his blood. Wyomer, Cain, El Halavar, Godawi, Godawil, Godawil, that is. Ani Meneso. And he said, Cain, unto Jehovah, Adar, greater my crookedness, my crime, my punishment, beyond my bearing. He said, I am being punished too much for my sin. Now, what should have happened to Cain? What should have happened to Cain? He should have been put to death. So God gives him one more chance. One last chance. He gives him one more chance. One more chance. Isn't that something? One more chance. One more chance. Who's talking to him? Jehovah himself. Could Cain have converted right here? Could Cain have confessed his sin? Could Cain said, man, from now on, I'm going to offer a blood sacrifice. I'm coming to you your way.
Judas could have done the same.
Judas could have done the same thing. Judas was a willing vessel. Cain was a willing vessel. A willing vessel. The line of Cain lasted 656 years. And cut off. The line of Cain was cut off at the flood, wasn't it? The line of Cain is the ones that was married in with them angel business. That angel marrying business. They're the ones that invented murder. He was the first murderer, and then his son, I have killed men, bragging about killing people. Tubal Cain, all of those, you know, these are murderers. And what were they hunting? Were animals prey at that time? No, they were not. What are they hunting? They're hunting mankind, and they're hunting beasts when they're not supposed to be doing. Every time you killed a beast, it was murder. These are murderers. Murder incorporated here, this whole bunch. 1,656 years of murder. 1,656 years of murder.
How did they know it stopped at that time?
What?
How did they know it was 1,650?
That's how long he lived.
Oh, okay.
According to the chronologies of the Bible. Okay? Some of the chronologies.
There must have been some of them got loose and still alive.
Well, we still got Adam's blood in us today. We don't have Cain's blood in us. We got Adam's blood. That's bad enough. Yeah. Cain was a vicious character. And he said and kept on saying, Cain unto Jehovah, greater my punishment, my crime, my punishment, beyond my bearing. I can't take it. Have you ever heard somebody in prison, I'm innocent?
They're all innocent.
On Life Magazine. Life Magazine one time. I was down at CMBI going to school down there at that time. Brother Ray, you went down there at CMBI, wouldn't you? In the kitchen area where they had a place, a lunch room. In there they had a bunch of Newsweek magazines and Time magazines. And right on the front of one of them was my dad. Standing in the bars. I'm innocent. Well, he was. But he hijacked an airplane to break out of that prison. He wasn't innocent of that. He got a lot of people in trouble over that too. People went to prison over him. He got out of prison for just a few hours so he could get him a lawyer to get him off of those charges, which he was off of. He was in prison wrongly. But then he went to prison for hijacking. He was guilty of that. Brother Madden looked at me and said, boy, you're a work of grace. My dad got killed robbing a liquor store in Long Beach, not very far from where that seminary was, just blocks away from it. My stepdad was a world-famous criminal. That's the one that raised me. But I'll tell you what, almost anything, if it hadn't been for that outlaw in my life, I don't know what I'd have done. I don't know what I'd have been turned out to be. I took the good elements. I took the good elements of his life. I took the honesty, the hard-working part of him. He was a hard worker. I never saw a man work so hard to get out of work in my life. He did. He could talk an Eskimo into buying a refrigerator, you know. Up there in the North Pole. Permafrost. He could do it.
It would work there in Fish Lake Valley.
I'll tell you what, people that remember him, some people don't remember anything but the good. I wrote a letter on Google one time. They talk about 35 years after the escape out of Jackson, Michigan, where he escaped out of that prison. He's the most famous prisoner in that prison. That prison is a museum now. And it shows right to the spot where my dad, with the helicopter, picked him up right there where he left the handkerchief for that helicopter to land. They called me. They said, tell us about your dad. And I said, well, my dad was a scoundrel, like they said, famous scoundrel, but That's only one half of the story. I said, you don't know all the people that he helped. One man back in Michigan wrote me a letter. He said, your dad was the greatest man I ever met. He said, he came on my dad's farm, and he said, we were poor. And he said he built brand new buildings. He rebuilt our house. He built us a stables out there to where we could rent them out for horses. And my dad said to your dad, he said, as long as I'm alive, you've got a roof over your head. I don't care what you did out there in Jackson, Michigan. He said, you have a home over your, you have a roof over your head. He said, I owe you that. He said, you saved my family. A lot of people wrote me letters like that, how he had done things for them. Out there on Buck Owens Boulevard now, it used to be Pierce Road. Out on Pierce Road, there was a car lot down there. And I can't remember this old boy's name. I think his name was Tony. But my dad went there, and he had him a brand new house built, and he ran plumb out of money, and he had this little old car lot down there right on Pierce Road. It was by the 99 Theater. And he took me out there, and that man taught me how to do everything. We dug ditches out there in that hard ground. We dug ditches. We built and poured a septic system and leach lines and everything. My dad went out there, and he knew somebody else that had gravel, and they brought the gravel out there for free, and we got the pipe and put everything in there, and we set it all up for that guy. And then he talked him out of Marilyn's dad's Packard. Her dad traded this Packard in about 1956, I think it was, 55 or 56 Packard, down in Los Angeles. And Tony would go down there and he'd pick these Packards up, but I had this beautiful Packard. Well, I've been all over these hills in that Packard. Chasing out, I mean, he turned that thing in from a luxury car into a four-wheel drive vehicle almost. We went back in Jawbone Canyon, every place else, training horses all over his home ranch. And we even led horses with that thing. That's a big car. I guarantee you one thing. We could rope a horse, snub him up to a pole, and Dale would teach him to lead behind that pick or car. They had to go. That car weighed 5,000 pounds. That horse maybe weighed 1,000 pounds at the biggest, you know, 1,200 sometimes. And then look here in verse 4:14. This is our last verse tonight. 4:14. Hen. Girashta. Hote. Hayom. Miola. Tane. Hadama. Umi panecha. Es sather. Hayathi. Na. Wanad. Baaritz. Wihaya, Kol, Motze, Yahargani. Look, behold, that little interjection there. Look, behold. You have driven with vengeance. You have driven out with vengeance me. Puh. He should have killed him. This should have been the first execution. God gave mercy. He gave him one more chance, didn't he? One more chance. You have driven with vengeance. Second person, masculine, senior, PL perfect. You have driven me out. Yes, he had. The day, this day, from upon the faces of the ground, my farm, I've lost my farm. I lost the farm. The ground that he was perverting into an offering, a cursed offering from a cursed ground, now God took it away from him and sent him out there wandering. Why not? A fugitive. Being a fugitive. Masculine, singular, cow participle. Being a fugitive. In the earth, or in the earth, he shall become. Everyone finding me, he shall keep on wanting to kill me. They shall keep on wanting to kill me. You ever hear somebody with persecution complex? How about a guilty conscience? It's all right here, isn't it? C.H. Spurgeon once said, a clear conscience is a wonderful companion. Mm-hmm. A clear conscience is a wonderful companion. When you know you're not you're doing the right thing. That a clear conscience is beyond the price of gold and silver. Cain didn't have one. I'll tell you something. When you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and save your soul, you can have a clear conscience, and you can have that one last chance. Can't you?
Amen.
That last chance. One last chance. Well, next week we'll go on from there. We went from 4:6 through 14. Did you learn something from God's Word? Secrets.
Down.
Secrets from God's Word. That's what we got, secrets from God's Word. But we learned about the last chance. Mm-hmm. The last chance. Last chance. God will give you the last chance.
Your Uncle Bill had a last chance.
You know, my Uncle Bill had one. That rascal, that murderer. The Lord sent me there to his Zion bedside, and I told him how he's going to go to hell, and he deserved hell more than any man that I knew, and he sat there and just bawled his eyes out. And I said, well, you're going to hell, all right, and probably soon. But I said, one thing, Jesus died for you. He said, I want to be saved, and I was mad at God. I didn't want that man to be saved, but he was. Last chance. Last chance. Vincent, what do we have for that last chance song?
We have 391.
391. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you can have Him. You have one last chance today.
Mm-hmm.
One last chance.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring that my Lord was crucified. Knowing that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary.
Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out there for you, that someone will have a last chance. Just like you give Cain a last chance. Someone has a last chance. Maybe this is the last message they'll ever hear in their lives. And Father, help us to glorify you with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.